Well, the leaders of North and South Korea will meet in April for the first time in more than a decade. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and South Korean President Moon Jae-in will meet on the southern side of the DMZ on April 27th, ahead of that planned meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Trump. For more, we're joined by Evans J.R. Revere, senior director with the Albright Stonebridge Group. He was deputy chief of the U.S. team negotiating with Korea, with North Korea in the 1990s. Evans, welcome to Here and Now. And how significant is this announcement today that Kim and Moon will meet?
Well, they had already agreed in principle, and this was an important meeting to actually fix the specific date and to confirm the venue, which had already been rumored to be in the southern side of the DMZ. I suspect there was some discussion of agenda, although there haven't been any details released about that. So it's actually well launched at this point. It looks like we're moving towards a north-south summit on the 27th.
And what do you think they will discuss?
I think each side has its own agenda. I think for the South Koreans, critical concerns of theirs are the family reunification issues, the idea of getting families that were separated by the Korean War back together. That's always been a priority of theirs. I suspect that the South Koreans will also raise the nuclear issue. I don't know if they'll dwell on it, but they will probably clearly underscore hope for progress on that issue. I think the North Korean agenda was actually spelled out by Kim Jong-un in his January 1st speech this year, which launched all of this diplomacy. And in that speech, he made it pretty clear that one of his priorities is to get North Korea accepted as a nuclear weapon state. That may come up in the talks, although I don't think the North Koreans will dwell on that.
Well, so square that, though, with what we just heard, that Kim Jong-un reportedly told Chinese President Xi Jinping that he was ready to talk denuclearization, but maybe not give up his nuclear weapons.
The language that the North Korean leader used in that discussion with Xi Jinping was a reference to pursuing the denuclearization of the whole Korean peninsula. That is a very familiar phrase to all of us who've negotiated with North Korea on nuclear matters over the last quarter century. And it does not mean denuclearization as the United States defines it. We've actually asked the North Koreans at the negotiating table to please define that term for us, and they have very helpfully done so. And they've said it means the removal of the threat posed by America's alliance with South Korea, by the presence of U.S. troops on the Korean Peninsula, and by the existence of the U.S. nuclear umbrella that protects our South Korean and Japanese allies. And they've said, if you remove those threats, eventually, perhaps in 10 or 20 years, we will feel secure enough to consider possible denuclearization. Those are their words. Meanwhile, as the gentleman who is now the North Korean foreign minister told us in New York a few years ago, we are prepared to have an arms control negotiation with the United States.
How do you square what is going on here, a meeting between North Korea and South Korea, a meeting between Kim Jong-un and Xi Jinping in Beijing, with the last few months where we've seen nuclear tests and missile tests? And remember when they were threatening Guam? I mean, what happened?
The North Koreans, by their own admission, and this came out in the January 1st speech as well, have made pretty significant progress on their nuclear program and their missile program. And I think they're looking over the horizon right now at the potential impact of the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign. I don't agree with folks who think that it's having a powerful impact on North Korea now, but I think in 6 months to a year, it will be having a major impact on North Korea, and no one knows that better than the North Koreans. So in anticipation of feeling the pain and the bite of sanctions and other measures, I think the North Koreans have prudently moved in tacked in a different direction, reaching out to the South, reaching out to China, reaching out to the United States. And the centerpiece of that outreach effort is to ease and eventually remove as many of the sanctions on North Korea as possible.
Do you think that the appointment of John Bolton as National Security Advisor made a difference?
I don't think so. All of this was in train before Mr. Bolton was appointed. He is known as a hardliner, deservedly. I think it is probably helping reinforce some of the tougher messages that have been coming out of the Trump administration. But the North Korean decisions, both to engage with us and the South Koreans and the Chinese, I think all of that preceded his appointment.
You're a former negotiator yourself back in the 90s. Does the situation feel totally different today than it did then, or does it feel the same?
There's an ironic echo that I'm hearing right now, particularly after the Xi Jinping summit with Kim Jong-un. Not only did Kim Jong-un repeat this denuclearization of the whole Korean Peninsula language, and I've explained what that means, he also said something else that to me was starkly familiar, and that is he said that the United States and North Korea should take phased, synchronized measures to achieve peace. That is also very familiar code language. And what that means is that Pyongyang wants to launch a very long, a very complicated, and a very step-by-step negotiating process with the United States over a period of time, perhaps years, that at the end of the day will end up helping North Korea buy more time for the development of its nuclear weapons program. That was exactly the model that Pyongyang followed in the 90s and in the 2000s through three U.S. administrations. And I believe the North Koreans are trying to find out whether a new U.S. president is going to go down that path once again.
That's Evans J.R. Revere, who is senior director with the Albright Stonebridge Group. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.